Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need, without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
What's good? Let's get this going. Let's get this going. Bring my brother 19 Keys on in a minute. What's the deal? First and foremost, thank all you guys for your support this year. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing run from the beginning of the year to now, but especially the last 3 months, man. We've done so much, traveled all around the world, hit all major media outlets. So, you know, we don't take it for granted. So thank you guys so much. Appreciate everybody spreading the word on us and everything that we had going on this year. Yeah, what's up, man?
What's up? Let me wipe off the... All right. We live in vision.
Yeah. And I was just thinking to people, man, you know, it's been a hell of a year for everything, for all of us. So definitely don't take the support of the people that have championed us from day one for granted. Don't take it lightly. And, you know, it's a testament to the power of the people to see, you know, everybody rise in such a historic manner in a very short period of time. So extremely humbling experience.
I echo those same sentiments, man. It's been a beautiful run this year, a marathon, I should say, actually. It's been a beautiful marathon, and you all have made it possible. You know, you can stand and shout the truth all day long and educate people all day long, but if nobody there to listen, you ain't really getting the work done. So it's the people that make this possible.
That is a fact. That is a fact, my brother. All right, so let's get into this, man.
State of the culture. Let's go.
State of the culture. We might have to make a show out of this.
I think so. I think this is what the world needs. Like, we come in and dress the culture every so often, but more often than not.
Yeah. I think this is the fourth time that we did it. And it's always interesting. It's always new topics to talk about. It's always spirited conversation. So I felt like, you know, this is a great time. End of the year, final call
for 2020. Oh, yeah, end of the year. Only a week left.
That's it, man. End of the year, beginning of the new year. And, you know, we did a lot of legendary things this year. Most recently, let's start it off here. Most recently, we were on Drink Champ. Shout out to Nori. Shout out to DJ.
Shout out to Nori.
Shout out to the family. Shout out to the whole family. So that was a legendary situation. 4.5 hours.
Shout out to the people that made it through.
Yes. Watch it over the Christmas break. But this is extremely important because you know, I read a lot of these comments. And, you know, some people thought that there was some level of issues between yourself and I on the programming. I think it's important to have a conversation about that also, because as we spoke about before, I don't think that people are used to two strong-minded people that may have different views on things. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem, that there's an issue, that there's, you know, sneak dissing or beef. Like, I literally talk to this guy every day, every single day. So, but like you said, as our culture, you know, conflict resolution is something that we lack. Just normal dialogue is something that we lack. And it doesn't always mean there's a problem or there's a fight. So I think this is a good topic to start out on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, we talk almost every day. I mean, I probably talk to you probably more than anybody at this point. And, you know, it's especially important to talk to people who have differences in perspective. Right. And I believe that's probably why we talk so much, because there's growth when you can have differences in perspective, but when you respect each other. Right. And I think that we live today in a time where people are always looking for somebody to reinforce their beliefs. Right. And that's because a lot of people are not comfortable with their belief system and what they actually believe, because people are kind of getting secondhand beliefs now. You've seen an opinion on social media, but you never actually thought for yourself. We both have strong opinions because of our experiences, which shape our perspectives. But when I listen to my brother, let me go ahead and set this down. It's getting hot. When I listen to my brother Rashad, man, I listen to him because he has a perspective and an experience and wisdom and knowledge, right, that I respect. So I'm not listening, you know, or as they say, when you listen to somebody, you wait to speak. No, I'm listening to listen. I'm actively listening because I respect his mind, right? And I know that what he's done with his mind, he's shown a level of success and an example of that success. So therefore, when we don't Drink Champs or we anywhere, that really is the power of how men supposed to be able to speak. You understand me? Like, we can joke with each other. We can have differences of perspective. But that doesn't go beyond that intellectual realm. That's building, right? And so a lot of people are used to, once they're done having a intellectual build and they're on two sides of the difference, now they're in their emotions. But no, it's no in their emotions. We go to dinner right afterwards, and then we had a conversation about, you know, what were the dynamics in that conversation, and that helps create more growth. And so you really have to take everything we do as an example of how men are supposed to move, how intellectual builds are supposed to happen, and how you're actually getting two sides of a coin to make sure that we attack all perspectives, which cover all people.
Yeah, and I think that's, once again, that's extremely important, because it's like, we're so conditioned to think problems, That's the first thing. It's like, problem. Shout out to Joe Button. Episode out right now. I love Joe. Joe, like, that's my guy. Like, I love Joe.
The pop father.
He said something during the episode that was interesting. He's like, every time I see y'all, I'm waiting for it to happen. And I'm like, what you mean? He's like, I'm waiting for it. I'm like, what you mean? So I understood what he meant. He meant he's waiting for dissension. He's you know, like within the ranks, somebody, you know, coming out and there's beef and there's issues. And he's like, it's only a matter of time. It's going to happen. And I'm like, but is it only, is it, does it have to happen? Like,
it don't.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's part of the shift, like it not happening. And then you got to think about it. Like, you know, I'd have been in many different type of relationships and partnerships in business realm and, you know, working to put people on and creating camaraderie and collaboration. But, you know, all of our current collaboration relationship and build is after that. So it's the experience that I learned from that. And I take that with me. I don't look at it like, oh, now I can't do business with nobody. It's like, no, I take that wisdom and that reflection of the past lessons and I take that growth. And we build on from there, right? And me, myself, and you are just like myself. You can have relationships. You're the type of person that's going to know everybody, even if everybody don't know everybody. So you can be the person that plays the middle role to where it's like, bro, what's going on with this? This ain't even that serious. You understand me? And I'm that same type of person. The people that I connect don't always know each other, but I have a relationship with them, right? And that comes from me. I got, you know, six brothers, right? Two sisters growing up in a big family. And growing up in the streets, I've always been used to being in large groups, right? Gangs of people or being in a brotherhood within a nation. And so I've never had an issue of getting along with people. So you all may see me moving with different, you know, people of different walks of life, but I can put on many different crowns because I'm empathetic and I have understanding. And I don't operate from a place of pure ego. You understand me? And I'm confident in who I am. So, you know, Rashad can try to be as fly as me as he want to. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to put that crown on and I'm going to drip down on him. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's talk about this. Shout out to him, 500 on the check-in. I see him 500.
Yeah, shout out to him, 5.
I feel like this year was year of collaboration. Like, we've been collaborating with everybody from the beginning, but this year we really collaborated with a variety of different people in a real way. Your show, high level conversations, collaboration, went out of this world, went crazy.
Yes.
Millions and millions and millions and millions of views. Of course, we've always been doing stuff together since Market Monday. You know, we did Madison Square Garden, Royal Albert Hall, which was ourselves, you, Ian, Wall Street Trapper, MG the Mortgage Guy, and then a bunch of people from London, Seb the Mortgage Guy, Patricia Bright, and all that. So I feel like working together and collaborating is something that is not really optional. It's really mandatory, especially if you're trying to get to the level. And that's why I always try to tell people, like, you can get rich by yourself, but you can't get wealthy by yourself.
Mm.
You can kind of get rich by accident. Like, if you're a really talented person, and it's like, you know, you hit the right lick and you meet the right person and, you know, you're a star. But so many people in our culture are one-offs. They're all one-offs. They got one successful show.
Mm.
They just one thing. They themselves have become stars. So it's like our goal is to create an ecosystem. So talk about that as far as, like, really trying to take it to the next level of business, but just the culture in general, to really starting to hit those billion-dollar valuations. That's the kind of conversation that I'm into now in 2023, is like billion-dollar valuations, hundreds of millions of dollars, different things of that nature. So it's like the only way that we can really do that is if we work together. There's really no other option.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always thought about that billion-dollar mark, right? Because I believe that, you know, all of our peers that we know talk about, you know, the $1 million mark. The $1 million mark has already became an achievable thing. The $10 million mark has become an achievable thing. You know, $100 million really wouldn't be the goalpost. It would have to be a billion, because what you can do with 10, right? What you can do with 100. But what we want to look at is the combined total equity, right, of us coming together. You know, I was looking at an equation and it was giving a breakdown about human capital. Right. And they say that if Black America's total net worth If $1.6 trillion, then what is the human capital worth? And the human capital should be 5 to 10x that, based on experience, based on intellectual property, based on ideas, based on spirit, based on, you know, skills, inventions, innovation, brain trust, all of those different things go into it. So we look at the $1.6 trillion, right? That's low-hanging fruit because it's decentralized. It's not an actual, you know, a commodified number that we can say, well, this would have looked like if we actually had a concerted effort to increase that number by 10x. So, you know, when you're talking about evaluations, if we have a spending power of $1.6 trillion, then if we can 10x that, then we most likely have 10 or 20 $1 trillion worth of value just within Black America. So now let's take a look at media, right? Because you had Joe Budden on. He said he turned down $20 million, right? Black media, I made the statement that Black America's attention is worth $1.6 trillion, right? That's why everybody fight for our attention. If we aren't ignorant and we get educated, then we automatically stop. We change our spending habits, right? So that's money out of somebody else's pockets automatically, just because we're no longer operating from a low level of ignorance. Now, our disunity. What is our disunity worth, right? So our lack of collaboration, what is the value of that to somebody else's community? Well, if these brothers start working with each other and they start building with each other and they start speaking with each other, then guess what? We can't pay them low no more. Right. We talked about this, that, you know, if you have it desegregated like how rappers were when they was getting different deals and nobody know what their deal structure is. Now, when you want to go get a deal, you don't have a standard for negotiation. Right. So that disunity and that lack of communication, that's worth a lot to somebody that wants to take advantage, or somebody that just want to lowball. Right. Because you have no reason to give a higher price point because people don't know their value. So then you say, OK, well, what is the collaboration worth? Collaboration means that you got to get your true value now, right? Because you're going to automatically increase your value. Just us doing a collaboration, whatever we can do on our own, you understand me, is going to be that. But whatever we do together, that's an automatic 10x. I ain't even going to say a 2x. You understand me? Because it increases value because you have new variables. These brothers are unified, right? They're going to share network. They're going to share collaboration. They're going to share audience. They're going to share marketing. They're going to share ideas. Right. So now it's a mastermind. It's access that you can normally not get on your own. So when the outside world looks at it, they say, well, damn, the evaluation that I had them at first, I have to readjust now. Now you're connecting with, you know, we did a collaboration with Chico. Right. Those evaluations that were at first just increased. Well, earlier this year, I didn't have a high level conversation show. Now I have a high level conversation show. The media and the attention just increased. Right. You all were just on, what was that show you were just on? Good Morning America. Today's yesterday, show. Shout out to Fat Joe. Yesterday's price is not today's price. You understand me? But we're not the previous generation. The OGs are fighting and talking amongst each other and talking at each other instead of talking with each other. We are a generation that talk with each other. Just that communication alone is worth $1 billion. The goal of it is that it's a potential billion. So now it is our responsibility to say, how do we quantify that potential billion, turn it into projects? Within our Rolodex, we probably can reach everybody in culture, right? And people outside of culture as well. So now we're combining our context. Now we're having conversations with each other. Now we're in the same room and we're saying that, listen, you know, I can leverage your arm of media for here. I can leverage your business brilliance over here. I can leverage your context over here, right? So now you start to increase that pot of value every time we throw something else in there. So we already worth $1 billion. The question is how do we withdraw it? And we're going to withdraw it by creating, you know, a system, right, and a framework so that we can actually pull it out the system, pull it out of reality. You understand me? And so our collaboration is really worth way more than billions because, you know, when you talk about being able to influence Black America, being able to influence the world, sorry, not just Black America. We got Asians, we got Latinos, we got the people out of London, we got the whole diaspora, we got people all over the planet Earth that tap into what we have, and education is worth more than entertainment. So whatever you look at as, you know, the value of an entertainer is, our value is 10x that, because what we're doing is a positive. What we're doing is creating social change. It's not a distraction. So not only is it from a standpoint of business more valuable, but from a personal standpoint, just you viewing us, you getting more value. Just the world tapping into us, we're adding more social change and value to the world.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. And the thing about it is, like you said, a lot of the OGs, like, we really set in blueprint. And that's the whole thing. Like, nobody's doing what we're doing. Nobody in any space, in music space, and there's nobody doing what we're doing. And especially in the podcast space, I don't like to use the word podcast, but there's no other word to really use. So I'll just say the podcast space. And it's so crazy because, like, you think about, like, all of, like, the top black podcasts, and a lot of them, most of them are friends of ours or were friends of ours at one point. And I've spoken to pretty much all of them. And, you know, I ask them questions like, how much is your deal? How many downloads do you get per month? I'm not asking them to become nosy. I'm asking them so we all have information that empowers all of us, because now we have more room to leverage. It's like, imagine LeBron James not knowing what Steph Curry gets paid. That becomes extremely difficult for him to negotiate a contract. So my whole thing is like, why don't we have a summit where we all come together, all the top shows, and we talk about how much are you charging for ads? How much is your deal over here? How much is your, and they didn't tell me the number.
And be talking all of that black shit, man. You know, listen,
they talk all that shit when it's how much are you making? They didn't tell me. So it's like,
man,
this is the kind of shit that nobody sees. This is what we up against, and it's like all that exterior. That's all fake. That's all facade. Saying you're helping somebody, you know, you're not. You're really not. Because I'm trying to get information out of you so we can all fucking empower each other so you stop getting raped by these corporations. And it's still a crab in a barrel where you're still looking over your shoulder like you're in the street. Like, oh, he got your hands. The people that got their hands in your pockets is the corporations that's taking advantage of. Maybe if we had some level of fucking unity, we could stop the nonsense.
That's a fact. Yo, you told me at the beginning of the year, I asked y'all about your numbers, and you was transparent. You're like, yo, we doing this many. And I looked at y'all show as a hit show, so I used that as a benchmark for my own. And I wasn't hitting those numbers, but I was close to it. And a few of my shows that I had running at the time, and it was completely disorganized, right? So it gave me a vision to be like, damn, if that's what they was doing, and I'm so glad you shared that information, it gave me a vision on what I could possibly do if I got organized, I was consistent. I put money behind it, I put a production behind it, and I took it serious. And so that gave me the faith and confidence to say, well, now I'm about to go execute and put mine together, because I didn't even know I was close to creating a hit, right? And so just that small bit of sharing information with each other and having levels of transparency with each other rather than trying to hide nothing, because what they be hiding is nothing, right? We done with the fake OGs. Right, because during my time, and it may be different for y'all, I don't have no OGs that ever called me and give me advice for shit. And I ask people for advice, and they still don't take the bait and give no assistance or help almost whatsoever. You understand me? I literally say, bro, you know, in case you got some advice, some information, or some game that you can give to a youngin', man, here's my number. I'm wide open for it. You understand me? But it don't exist, because I grew up always saying, OGs, instead of them helping me, they always looked at me as competition, right? And unfortunately, we at this same stance where people look at each other as competition instead of an opportunity to assist each other, right? Like, man, we playing on the same team. You think we on different teams, but we not. It's just we on the same team, but y'all don't even fucking realize it, right? So imagine being in a basketball game with people that's on the same team, but they won't pass you the ball. Like, my assistants help you win the championship. You understand me? And so we at that stance right now where a lot of these older guys, and it's not like a young versus old, but it's the older mentality that they have, not understanding that it's more valuable sharing information than it is hoarding it. It's more value giving transparency and giving game, because we elevate the entire industry, right? And it gives us more power as gatekeepers to decide what the value is. Right, rather than allowing somebody else to decide it and then them underpaying you because of the lack of communication, the lack of unity, and they can easily see it. They have a conversation with one person and they can tell you didn't talk to the other person. You're right? So they like, yo, we're going to offer you this lowball number. Well, shit, he must not have known what we just offered his partner. You understand me? Because he would have never took that, but we're going to try him anyway. So they know we not communicating, and they know a lot of that, you know, fake talk that they see on the internet is just entertainment, right? But the reality of it is when you get some young cats like us, man, we don't mind sharing the numbers. Like, I talk to him, finally, I talk to Rashad, and I get real numbers, like real breakdowns. You understand me? I'm like, ooh, okay. So that put the vision in my head. That put my wheel spinning. But even more than that, willing to collaborate with each other. It don't be no ego shit. It'd be like, bro, I got to connect. I'm going to share this with you. Why? Because we already know we're going to do more together than alone. You understand me? Like, it ain't no reason that I would hoard any information from Rashad or anybody else in the space if you just ask. Sometimes we're afraid to ask each other because we don't want to reveal what we don't know. And then that's a big issue as well. Being ignorant for a moment is better than being ignorant for a lifetime. You understand me? So the moment that you ask the question, you reveal your ignorance for a moment, but you're educated forever once you get the answer. And so we got to stop being afraid of showcasing our ignorance. You understand me? To in order for us to get enlightened.
I think in 2023, like, I really want to just change. I feel like we've changed culture a few times already, but really want to just change it again and get away from everything that we've glamorized for such a long period of time. Like, even like, you know how people do, like, they do location shoots. Like, they'll go to like the hood of New Orleans, or they'll go to like the hood of Mississippi, or the hood of LA. Like, any hood is like, yo, we doing, like, you know those like DVDs back in the days? Like,
yeah. Hood to hood was one of them.
Yeah, and they still doing that. And it's like, yo, we in the trenches of Cleveland, Ohio. I'm not showing you no trenches. Like, we're going to show you, like, we're going to go to East Africa. I'm going to show you, like, yeah. India. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to go to the most crazy places in the world and show you the highest level of luxury, because it's like, what that does is just constantly bring you back to just negativity and nonsense. It's like, if one or two things, either you're in that situation, why would you want to be reminded of something that you're in?
Right.
Or either you're not in that situation and you're looking at that for entertainment. But why would you want to be entertained by somebody else's misery?
Mm.
Either way, we got to eliminate that. All that is dead. We're not even doing that. Like, I'm not, like, what benefit does it serve? Because it's not like you're saying you're in that neighborhood for any positive reason. You're in it to be like, yo, this is the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they just got shot. This is where little old dog just got locked up last week. I'm going to bring you to the Chinese store with the glass in the window, and you got to put your money through, and it's exciting. It's like, nah, that's not it. We're not supporting that. We're not doing that no more. Like, everything is changing in 2023. We're going to change the whole aspect of everything, because what happens is what we do in America translates all over the world. So when you go to London and it's like they doing their videos in the hood in Brixton, they doing their videos in the hood in Hackney, and they want to show the worst areas possible. And then when you go to Nigeria and they want to show the worst areas in Nigeria, it's like, my hood is worse than your hood, and the hoods in America is not worse than the hoods in Jamaica. It's like, it's a race to the bottom.
Right.
Literally a race to the bottom. And we're the only people that glorify having the worst environment. Like, it's like, you're embarrassed if your environment is not the worst. Like, having the worst environment is not a badge of honor. So all of that got to be reworked. And it's something that hip-hop culture is just repeating itself over and over again. So it's up to us to change the narrative on that. And then they just got to follow what we're doing.
And that's key what you said. And that makes me think about toxic blog culture. You understand me? Because that glorification and that capitalism, capitalizing on our oppression is what it is, right? Like, the hoods anywhere throughout the world is the reality of systematic oppression, right? It is, you know, the result of a people going through oppression, being an economic oppression, social oppression, and not having a proper education, not having proper, you know, exposure, and not being in the right environments, and all of that is a system. And so when you go and you glorify, you're glorifying oppression. So the way that people become, your thugism, your gangsterism, your mannerisms, the way you speak, the way you move, the way you think, the way you dress, is a result of oppression. It's not a result of you being free. It's not a result of you being in a liberating environment with the proper education and the proper tools and resources and a great family dynamic, and you not having these systems consistently, you know, on top of your head. So by glorifying that, you're helping the oppressor, you know, keep the oppressed oppressed by not helping them realize that this is oppression in the first place. So you're getting them to find pride in oppression. You understand me? And so what we're doing is the counter agent to that. Like, no, let's expose you to the world. Don't you know you can jump on a, yes, you can do another another show in Atlanta if you want to, but you can also do one in London if you want to. Why not? Why not globalize yourself, right? Like, you talk about people not having a proper financial education. That's all across the world. You understand me? Like, you want to have pride in your neighborhood. That's fine if it's a neighborhood, but if it's a hood, there's nothing to be prideful of it, because what you're taking pride of the oppressive conditions that you were grown up in, and you're looking at the socioeconomic status of a people, and instead of trying to rise above it, right, you relish in it and you want to be the biggest man, you understand me, at the bottom. That's not how it's supposed to work. So what you're saying is key, because by exposing our people, we expand their mindset, right? And so when they become expansive, oh, the blog culture in trouble. You understand me? Now, spiritual world actually had to put some shit that's spiritual on there then. You understand me? I'm just saying, to use that as an example, right? So once you elevate the people, now they like, wait a minute, man, I just seen Rashad, and what's called, you trying to get me to be impressed by this, but what they showing me is actually real. They just showed me how to educate yourself and kick yourself out of certain condition. Man, I'm not impressed by what's going on with Tory Lanez and Meg Thee Stallion. I'm not waiting on that verdict. I'm busy, you understand me, putting together my plan for 2023 so I can actually increase my net worth. So we got a culture that's waiting on, you know, one case in America that seemingly doesn't have any value, or somebody getting shot in the foot while there's people getting shot and killed every single day from a lack of proper education that's creating criminality that's destroying neighborhoods and families. And you want to utilize that so that it's a case that pits black men and women against each other when that's the entertainment industry. So what's the reality is that you shouldn't even have as many details in your head to even care about that case. Because go ask somebody who you know that is top tier, intelligent, educated, billionaire, decamillionaire, that is smart as hell. They don't fucking know the details of that case. They don't.
Really don't.
Because it don't matter to them and their reality and to their goals. And Black America got to have information and knowledge in their head that is direct correlation to your wealth, right? Direct correlation to your freedom.
That's what I'm trying to, it's frustrating. Like, I'm trying, like, people, they're like, you're talking down to people lately. That are like, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to help you, I'm trying to help you, because you got to understand, a few years ago, like, I was trying to figure it out myself. It's not like I was like, had, you know, millions of dollars. Like, I'm trying to figure it out myself. We figured it out. And we're still figuring it out. But it's like, it's a blessing to be able to talk to Don Peebles. He's a billionaire.
Talk your talk.
For 2 hours. It's a blessing to be able to talk to Robert Smith for an hour and a half. It's a blessing to be.
Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me. YahooFinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be able to talk to Steve, like, you know the common denominator in all of these different conversations? I promise you, nothing about Megan Thee Stallion's case came up one time. I'm being so honest with you. I'm keeping it a thousand. Not one detail of Gunna wasn't talked about. Not one time. And it's like the disappointment in this blog culture has to be, we have to keep saying, because you guys that's running these blogs are doing the devil's work, because this is like the biggest thing since OJ. Like, you put in every single day, I don't even know how you get this information. Every single day, there's a new detail, there's a new witness, there's so many people that's engaged in it daily and they're watching, and I'm trying to help. We haven't got through to you yet. I'm telling you from a perspective, I'm trying to help you. Really had conversations with billionaires that's really out here, that's really getting to it. And they're talking about so many different things, and I'm getting educated on so many different things, and my viewpoint on the world is changing because I'm getting educated, and I'm trying to educate you by the education that I'm getting, and you're giving me pushback on it. It's not a debate, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but it's like a mountain. When you can't see the other side of the mountain, you only have the one side that you see. It's like a shaded mountain. You think the whole world is just shaded. When you get to the top, and then you can actually see, it's like, yo, this is a rainforest, and there's rainbows, and there's cattle, and it's like, yo, this is crazy over here. All you gotta do is go over the mountain, and
that's a fact.
And they trying to fight with me to go over the mountain. Eventually, what happens is that you go over the mountain, and you never come back. Now I understand it. I understand it now, because it's like, when you go over the mountain, this is why people don't come back. This is why they don't come back. Because when they come back, they're getting pushback and they're getting ridiculed by the people that they're actually trying to help.
That's a fact. Why would you come back? You know, I mean, and shout out to most of us that do. I think most you got to realize, and this is why I give a lot of credit to, a lot of people don't even know that they're pro-black. But it's because, you know, there's like this identity of like, yo, you got to be this super conscious brother with a Hotep hat on and all of this stuff. No, it's just the fact that you get information and you come back and give it to your people. You understand me? And you don't have to, because once you get to a certain level of education in this world, and we live in capitalist environments, you can literally figure out how to get money, you understand me, utilizing your mind once you get a certain level of intelligence. And you don't have to ever give back. You don't have to ever come back. You don't have to ever see nobody black. So I always give credit to those who do it, because it's like, yo, you do it and you don't have to, especially knowing that it's an uphill battle. You know, I was always taught it's easy to lead people in the wrong direction. It's hard to lead them in the right, right? And so I was looking at this video, I'm gonna post it on my page, and it shows these ticks. These ticks are in this jar. First they jumping around all kind of crazy, right? Then they put the lid on the jar. Now the ticks are only jumping to a certain height. So what they do is they remove the jar, and the programming of the ticks stay exactly the same. It looks like they're in a jar still, but there's no longer any glass ceilings. There's no longer any, you know, boundaries for them. And what happens is their children are now engineered with that same behavior, and they can't even change it, right? So what you all don't even realize, that a lot of the boundaries and the ceilings that you have, and a lack of faith and belief and the moves that you make, it's because it's generational and it's tradition. Your mother watched the same BS that you watch on the news, watched the same gossip conditioning that you have. You watched it, was reared into it, and now you're trying to reprogram yourself out of it. We are a generation that has so much information at hand. I mean, it's information overload has turned into information exhaustion, right? The information now makes us tired because we got so much, we don't know what the fuck to do with it at this point, right? And so now we're at this point where when I talk about the focus things, like, you know, the devil want to keep you distracted because you're a powerful ass people if you ever get focused, right? You can manufacture and manifest anything into reality. And I'm talking about just with a little bit of focus. Just give us 20% more focus. So going into this, you know, and I don't even like to call it a new year because we know the reality of it is life is about cycles. It's not about going into 2023, but when we talk about fiscal years in quarter one, then that's when you get set up. Today is the 22nd. The 22nd is a shift in daylight and nighttime hours. So we go through different cycles and don't even realize the change, but we in the winter cycle. This is the time, as if it was a bear go hibernate, keep his energy because he know that this is not my time. I done hunted all year long. I done ate and filled up my stomach. Now I'm going to relax. And when spring come back around, I'm back outside hunting. Black people in America, winter is not our best season. I told Rashad this before. We should move Black History Month to June. You understand me? Because that's when we absorb in the sun. Our energy is at its highest. And that's when we really go celebrate us. And we really go put things into action and focus. We only get one day in June, and that's Juneteenth. Right? But when you don't even realize that, you know, you're operating against yourself because you're a melanated being and you go through seasons of, you know, sunlight deficiency. So therefore, you get seasonal depression and they're getting you to buy things that you don't need to make yourself feel better. You're being played because they know your nature and you don't know yourself. So somebody said, I didn't know it was that deep. It's always that deep. Otherwise, it's shallow. Talk to me, Rashad. Talk to me.
It's always that deep unless it's shallow. I like that. I like that. I have to steal that. Shout out to Toby on a check-in. One of my favorite artists who's changing the narrative.
And hold on. Grammy nominated Toby.
Grammy nominated. And he's a fashion icon, too. I saw him in Milan Fashion.
Oh, welcome to the club, brother.
Oh. Welcome to the club. That is a fact. You know, you bring up a good point. And it's so much stuff that we don't even realize that it's so much trauma. And you know what's so crazy? I think it was Wall Street Trapper. This was a few years ago. And we was in one of my friend's house, and he was in New York, and it was Christmas around this time, and it was in Brooklyn. And he was talking to – it was a camera woman. He asked her a question with her. She was, like, real, like, snarky with him, kind of like had an attitude. And he was like, yo, like – he said something to the effect, like, yo, everybody out here got an attitude. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like – I'm like, don't mind, she's from Brooklyn, don't worry. No disrespect from anybody from Brooklyn. But I'm like, she's from Brooklyn, like, that's just how Brooklyn people are. And then I had to think about it, I'm like, just for me to even rationalize in that, there's certain levels of dysfunction. But then I have to start to think about it. And it's like, if it's 30 degrees, and you're living in a 1,000-square-foot apartment, and you're paying $2,900 for that apartment, what that is not even really functional, and you got to take the train with 100 other people, and it's gray skies. That starts to change that the way that you actually think of life. And it was crazy for me. Like, when I moved to Florida, I went to prep school in Florida, right? So being in New York my whole life, and then at 17, 18 years old, I go to Florida. And it was bugged out when I heard people say, no ma'am, yes sir, how are you, good morning. And it was like, I didn't really know how to take the good morning. Then I'm realizing, like, damn, like, we really are dysfunctional. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was weird to me. But then I also realized being in Florida, it's sunny, it's 70 degrees. You got, it's open, it's flat land. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're thinking better. You're in just a more peaceful, it's a pool. It's actually a pool in November. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just changes the whole way that you think about things. So it's like getting out of your environment a lot of times is extremely important, and actually doing some analytical work on yourselves, because seasonal depression is a real thing, and the environment is a real thing as well, especially living in like urban environments where most Black people live in cities or very close to cities. So that's not done by accident. That's done by design. And that was done early because that's where the work was. So they had to go there. But why is the work only in the cities, right? So now they keep you in a close quarter. They keep you in a hustle type of mentality. They keep you in bad weather. And ultimately, that all plays a part in your mental conditioning. And you don't really realize it until you get out of it. When I went to Hawaii, I went to school in Hawaii, and it was the first time I ever saw stars. And it was like little stuff like that, like, can change your whole life. And because I'm just looking at the stars, and I had always studied Orion's belt, but I actually saw Orion's belt, which that was taken from Egypt, but that's a whole different story. But I'm seeing all these constellations, and I'm seeing a star, I'm seeing all these stars, and it's just like, I never saw stars, not in that capacity. And I'm like, right. I never saw the ocean like have waves. Like, I didn't know that the ocean could have 20-foot waves. So just being in tune with nature, it just changed my whole aura. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like really just more calm, more laid back. Mm-hmm. Because now you realize that you're just a small speck in this universe. So I say that to say, like, we really, as people, got to start thinking like that. And that's why, going back to not highlighting the ghetto and not highlighting the trenches, like, we've done that enough. There's enough movies. There's enough rap videos. There's enough social media posts that highlight that. If you're interested in learning about that type of environment, you can either A, visit it for yourself, or you can just go on YouTube, and there's a plethora of different archived historical videos that will document that very well. But we're going to document a whole different story. We're going to go to Africa,
yes,
Europe, Asia. We're going to go all over, and we're going to show you a whole different part of life, because it's important. It's important to not only our growth, it's important to your growth.
That's a fact. Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up, I remember my family used to get together. We'd watch, you know, travel shows. We'd watch home improvement shows. We'd watch all of these different things. And now when you look at TV, you know, all you get is gossip and bickering and crime shows now. Like, even the programming has changed so much. Like, there's no more family programming really anymore. You understand me? There's nothing where you really sitting down with your family and you're exploring the plains of Africa, right? And people are sitting down, or we used to sit down with the family. We'll watch, you know, a person get their whole life redecorated or something of that nature. And it'll give us vision of what was possible, things that we can see in reality. I feel like we are the new history channel. We're the new travel channel, right? And now we have the new financial channel. We get to add these things back, right? Because they've been missing so long. And so now it is this generation of people, they got their children watching us. You understand me? Like, they sitting there with their children know our names. And so now they get to watch us, and we get to curate the right content for them, right? The right pictures for them, the right amount of exposure. Like, you said something key about being in nature, man. I'm a very naturist person. Like, and sometimes I forget, because you know, we so busy, you know, being disconnected from the earth, meaning that we always got shoes on. We never touch the ground. We always in the air. We always on the move. You know, and sometimes you can be so busy in the clouds. I remember Waka Flocka told me this at Revolt. He said, be careful. They'll keep you in the clouds and you'll forget about the dirt. You'll forget about the roots. You understand me? And you have to remember the reason you started. That's the roots. That keeps you grounded in who you are and your purpose in the first place. But the clouds is the busyness. That's the life. That's the damn. I'm just doing this and doing this. I forgot what I was doing it for. I'm so goddamn busy. So, you know, sun, moon, and stars. If you take time out to view the sun, I believe it's 15 to 30 minutes a day. It resets your whole circadian rhythm. So you now are secreting melatonin at the right time. It's decreasing stress. You're getting a deeper sleep. You understand me? At nighttime, go tap into the moon. The moon has a sway on your whole entire body. Just by being in connection with the sun and the moon cycles, like you said, just ponder upon the stars, allow your brain to just release, to think about nothing, and then just tap into some universal sight. This, as human beings, a person probably couldn't tell you the last time he looked at a cloud or looked at a tree or gazed in the sun or looked at some stars. Like, we're so disconnected from nature and the essence of reality. And we talk about being spiritual. You understand me? But you ain't took a walk in a park in a whole year talking about you spiritual, because you got some cards, some tarot cards. You understand me? With the sun on there. Like, come on, man. That's not how we supposed to operate. We beautiful black beings of melanated shades and, you know, higher level connections. So you got to tap in, because unfortunately, you know, I've seen the what happened with the brother Twitch. You seen that brother. That brother always had a smile on his face. And, you know, we have black men specifically had the worst mental health of all people in America. Now, that should not be the case, right? But what that tells you is that these environments that we are in, these artificial environments, these oppressed environments, they are not formed in ways, and our upbringing and society and what we eat are not formed in ways where we can have spiritual success. You can gain financial success. That brother had a hit show. He had a wife. He had children. He was known around the world. He had money. You can gain financial success in America and live the so-called American dream. But if you don't have that spiritual success on your side where it's connected to your values and your purpose of who you are, and at night when you're sitting alone by yourself, you're going to be drained and you're going to feel like shit and you're not going to be happy. So like what we're doing, even showcasing, going around the world, you know, that's spiritual fulfillment for me. You understand me? The good that we do when we do free shows and stuff, that's fierce spiritual fulfillment for me. Sitting there listening to the people give testimonial about the work, that's spiritual fulfillment. That keeps me fulfilled where I can do this work forever. So, you know, we going to get money because, you know, we live in America and we got that money to get, and we got a billion out there with our name on it, a couple of them. You understand me? But at the same time, we have to replenish our spiritual billionaire cup at the same time.
Yeah, and it's extremely important to all aspects of life in order. And even, you know, just going back to the mental health thing, it's a real conversation. And there's different levels of people that are struggling with mental situations, from seasonal depression, that's a mental situation, to being bipolar, to being schizophrenic, to, you know, to having, you know, deep depression, to have mild depression. Like, it's a variety of different things. And that conversation, I think, really needs to be explained to people a lot, because I think people have a high level of sensitivity to it. Even with the Ye situation, like, you know, I just feel like people don't really have a sensitivity for something unless they actually experienced it, or they know somebody that experienced it. But it's a real situation. And it's crazy that people don't really even think that it's real. They're like, well, that's not an excuse.
Right.
It actually
it is.
It's actually a perfect excuse. Like,
it can be an excuse for murder. Like, so.
It makes when I hear people say that, it's triggering. When they're like, yo, I don't want to have my mental illness, that's not an excuse. It's actually a perfect excuse. It's actually a perfect excuse. If you're not in your right mental state of mind, you can't make sense out of nonsense. It's like you trying to argue with somebody that's not mentally stable, and you trying to like have a rational conversation with them, and then you mad because they're not having they're not supposed to have a rational conversation with you. They're not mentally stable. That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
That's a fact.
And it's like, by not having the sensitivity and not having the understanding for it, that's actually making it worse, because what it's doing is making it a stigma. Now people don't want to get help. They don't want to accept that they have something that might be wrong with them. Society is going to look at them different. So words are very powerful. So just be careful when you speak, because it's like you might think, oh, I only got 1,000 followers. Well, 1,000 people is a lot of people. Like, just think if 1,000 was in front of your house right now. That's a lot of people, right? So just be careful with your platform, because everybody always tell influencers or celebrities, like, yo, y'all got a platform. Oh, you have a platform. You have a platform also. So what's your responsibility? And this goes back to like what I was saying about Dion. It's like, yeah, we love to pass the buck and be like, well, these people got influence. Well, you have influence. You're like, well, my influence is not as big as your influence. Well, my influence is not as big as Kim Kardashian's influence. I still have an influence. It's like, we could keep passing the buck all day. Like,
yeah.
There's always going to be somebody that has a higher level of influence. There's always going to be somebody that has more followers. But what does that have to do with your following and your influence? And I think, like, so many people, if people started to really think like that and really started to look at themselves in that light, then they would be more careful of what they said. Because we live in a culture now where people just feel so comfortable saying anything. And I always say, especially to men, I get more disappointed with men than women, because I can never understand. You have a mental illness if you're a grown man and you take time to write on a post on a person that you never met in life, and you're writing 3 different paragraphs on that post, and then you're responding to somebody on that post, and you haven't paid your light bill. You have a mental illness. You're not mentally stable. If you're doing some silly shit like that, I don't know how to do that. I don't know. Robert Smith's not doing that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that.
Hey, y'all, these people really do be having some, you know, that's one thing I know 100% for sure. A lot of you all have mental issues and you're not dealing with it. The comments I see are, I seen a brother that was arguing in the comments, telling other people I'm not from Oakland. He was like, I ain't got no pictures with him. He ain't from Oakland. And I just had to laugh. It's like, now for me to respond in that would make me have mental issues. Because now I would be responding to somebody's delusion versus me actually knowing the reality. Right? So it's like somebody trying to tell you the sun don't exist while it's shining on your face. It's like, come on, brother. I'm not even going to have that argument. Right? One's reality and one's complete delusion. So it lets me know that there's something off in the mind. And so, unfortunately, especially since we have large platforms now, you know, there's so many people that we get. And when you talk about the percentage of people that do have mental illness, that's going to be a percentage of our following. Right? And so I'm sympathetic and empathetic to that, of just being cognitive of the fact that, yo, you know, I'm not mad at you because, you know, you just may be walking around undiagnosed. You may be just looking for attention. And I might not have that attention for you, but it's like a child that acts out. You know, that's the only way you can get your parents' attention or society's attention. You go act wild. So, you know, a lot of times they treat us like they OG. They treat us like they pops. You understand me? Because they may have not had a father that challenges them. They not have a father that sit them down and get them straight. So I get that. You understand me? But you got to understand, I can't always deal with my kids. I'm busy. You understand me? So, like, you got to relax.
But it's also some level of ground rules, like this state of the culture, right? So there's some level of ground rules that has to be laid for the culture, because part of it is mental illness, but also part of it is just there's no level of ground rules that were set for these people to follow. So it's like when I see men arguing with women on social media, when I see men commenting, going back and forth, whether Gunn is a snitch or not, and then like, yo, I just did 8 years in jail, so I know the paperwork, and then they going back like, yo, da-da-da-da. It's just like, part of it is because the culture has become so freely, just anything is permissible. Anything is permissible, there's no boundaries, and everybody just feels so comfortable speaking. And this is why, like, if you ever been around, I don't really, it's ironic because I talk for a living, but I'd rather not speak because it's like, I don't always have something to say and I don't want to just talk just for the sake of talking. Like, I'd rather actually listen, observe. If I have something I need to say, I'll say it. But for the most part, I'm not really into just speaking. So it's like, so many people just get so comfortable just speaking online. It's like diarrhea of the mouth. So I feel like that's because they weren't taught that if you don't have anything really insightful to say, it's probably better to err on the side of not speaking.
That's a fact. I've learned to, you know, especially when it comes to communication, you have to understand words were never meant for lies. Words were never meant for entertainment. Words were never meant for idle conversation, right? Like, when human beings was developing their ability to communicate, it wasn't so that they could gossip, right? It was based on survival of them trying to get messages quicker to each other, because at first they were doing sign language and drawing symbols and doing all this sorts of thing. And, you know, it was a point in time in history where every man couldn't speak language, right? Everybody couldn't write. Everybody couldn't read, right? These were for the high-level thinkers. Now we're in a society where everybody has these skills. Everybody has access to information, and now people are just saying anything, right? I seen a video. This girl was talking to these guys in a barbershop, and now they talking about the Gunna case. And she's talking about something happened to his baby mom and this, that, and the third. They like, why do you think that? And she said, well, it's probably because of what he did to Rico. They said, wait a minute, you know, Rico is not a person, right? But she was saying it with so much conviction that she just swears she knew what she was talking about. And before she got to that point, it almost sounded like she had a point. And you got to be so careful today, because a fool can almost sound like a scholar until you give them enough room to talk and reveal themselves. right? And some of you all are just revealing the fact that you're fools by talking too much. And so you have to learn how to shut up, because you may get the grace of somebody believing that you're actually intelligent. And it is a sign of intelligence shutting up when you have nothing good to say. So that is a key, right? When you're moving about people, over talking is not good, especially if you don't have value.
Yeah, you don't have value. You don't. A lot of times, and it's like, when you don't have value, no, you don't have. There's some areas in life where I don't add value in, and I understand that. You speaking about aliens and stuff like that, I'm not a scholar when it comes to that subject. So
I would, Billy Carson, man.
Would rather listen to Billy Carson to yourself. Like, I got to listen to that. I got to take in the information. I got to study it. I rather, you know what I'm saying? I rather that. But it's okay to not be an expert in everything in life. That's okay. That's okay.
That's a fact.
but moving into 2020, this is going to be the year. It's been elevation, and it's been constant, you know, new things that's been added to the chapter with us. And one of the things that, you know, I really hate the most, because like I said, words are powerful. And some of you guys are very disrespectful with your words, and it's not encouraging, that's for sure. And it's heartbreaking. It's like Callie said, you really break my heart, man. You really do, man. Because you just find any, you just, it's constant negativity. It's actually heartbreaking. It's disappointing.
Yo, the comment section is dangerous sometimes, man. It's disrespectful.
It's extremely disappointing. But I respect, most of the comments are encouraging. Most of the comments are encouraging. Some comments are discouraging. But we still elevate no matter what. So
you know, Rashad, what I learned, though, is that this is what I learned. This y'all can take this with y'all. Take it to the bank, man. You might be able to cash in on this. You know, when the person, the goal is, in life, if you're doing marketing and branding, you're doing business, is to really have a strong, polarizing personality. When I used to look at my YouTube, I used to see 100% likes. I didn't see no dislikes, no nothing. And it actually let me know I was doing something wrong. I was being too safe. You don't want people, if you got, you know, in relationships, you don't want people to just like you. You want people to love you, right? People that like you, you're just okay. We can forget people that we like, because now you're just in a realm of, you're not disappointing me. You're not showing me nothing new. You're not showing me nothing special. You're not saying nothing I never heard before. It's like a girl that's just, she's pretty, but she's not gorgeous. She's not really standing out. That girl, the ugliest chick you ever seen before, and the most beautiful women, you gonna remember both of them. You understand me? Now, here's the thing about creating polarization.
I ain't never heard nobody say it like that, but that's an interesting take.
But you got to remember, as long as a person has hate for you or love for you, they have feelings for you, right? Hate and love are both strong emotions, and they're both feelings. The goal is try to get, whether it's a brand, whether it's a business, whether it's your personal branding, is to get people to have feelings for you. If you don't feel anything, if you just like me, that's not no feelings. You just dislike me a little bit, that's not no feelings. But when you see something, then you hear something he said, man, I hate Rashad. Well, now you just call feelings for me, right? Oh, man, I love Keith. Now you just call feelings for me. Now, that feelings is actually convertible. You understand me? It turns into views, which turns into money. It turns into, you know, multitude of different things. But if you just like or dislike a person, how many people that we passed up, how many posts we passed up, how many personalities, how many businesses we passed up. We liked them. You know what I mean? We might have disliked them, but we didn't have any strong emotional connection towards them whatsoever. And so the most special people in the world, we either love or we hate. You understand me? And sometimes we hate that we love them. You understand me? And we hate that we hate them. Right? This is why Kanye West, he's either hated or loved. The Kardashians are hated or loved. Trump, they're hated or loved. Right? Obama is hated or loved. But these people have things in common. Success. Right? And so I just take into factor now, I'm not even trying to be liked or disliked. I want to be hated or loved. Because I'm trying to get you to have feelings for me. So you have to be careful the things that you have feelings for. Because you may think you hating on somebody. Right? Same thing, a person thinks they hate their ex. No, you just have feelings for them, but there's negative feelings and there's positive feelings. but it's still feelings.
So there's 37 seconds left. So before they cut us off, hate is a form of confused admiration. And I say that to say, you know, watching the growth as far as being able to start a media company, being able to educate people, being able to get live event space. The next phase that you're going to see is the professional phase. We got, you know, this is the investment banking phase. This is the real estate mogul phase. So it's called Stay Tuned Alert.
Stay tuned.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.